meow with me, Garrett. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in, Sandpoint, Idaho. I'll just say that because then people will look the wrong place for me. And I am the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Garrett Fox, the Funky Fox. How you doing, Garrett?
I'm doing excellent. The Freedom Fox.
There you go. You changed it. Yeah, we change our animal wrestling names from time to time. And you're holding fort there down in Maryland, outside of D.C., huh?
Yeah.
Are you in Baltimore now?
Yep. Good old Baltimore.
Man. Yeah. Fun. Bodymore. Murderland. That's what they call Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, I've heard the reference.
Yeah, I finally watched All the Wire twice. It was pretty good, man.
You watched it all the way through twice, and I haven't even gotten started yet.
Ugh, man, it is it's some of the best TV ever made, I gotta say.
All right. I'll break down and get started on that. I gotta get away from my sci-fi kick. I'm almost out of sci-fi to watch.
Wait, what? What? Hello? Is this thing on? I'm confused and irritable. You youngsters, what are you doing in my earphones? I'm trying to listen to the classic hits of the early 70s.
Maybe it is time.
For what?
Maybe it is time.
Hello?
I think we're going to take you to a nice little living community, not an old folks home.
In my room at the old folks home, they'll set up a microphone in the corner, and I'll just every day I'll at the time I'd normally go on radio, I'll just talk into the mic and I'll think people are hearing me, but they won't.
Yeah. Hey, what's that? This thing on.
Time becomes irrelevant when you get to that age.
Yeah, it kind of does, but I don't know, man. My dad's 94 and still lives alone. He has someone that comes 94. Help him, but yeah, he's someone that comes help, you know, a couple times a week. But yeah, I'm hoping that's me.
It's almost a century. That's insane.
It is, and I want to talk today. You know, we were going to talk about this article about Charter Cable Internet tells tornado victims to look around the neighborhood for their blown away cable boxes or have to pay for them. But let's get to that later. I think we should, we have this other topic about how things have changed in our lifetimes. And, you know, people do this on radio and they're normally, I don't know, talking about the good old days of Richard Nixon or something. But I want to talk about technology mainly and how things have changed in our lifetimes. Now, to be clear, I am 50 years old. That's 50. How old are you, G Fox?
I am 29 years of age. That's 29.
How old are you really?
I'm 29.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah.
Whenever people say they're 29, I figure they're 32 or something.
You're right. Yeah. No, I will be 30 in December. So.
Oh, it's Lou that just told me he just turned 29 for the seventh time or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was you. Okay. Well, so first of all, what have you heard older people talk about when they're reminiscing? I'm not necessarily reminiscing. I'm totally into going forward into the future. I think that's the place to be. But and whenever people say back when America was good, when was that? I mean, do you take that back to Richard Nixon and the Vietnam War, or do you take that back to I don't know, segregation and people being beaten up in the South for trying to register voters? Or do you take that to, you know, the smallpox and the Civil War? Or do you take it back to slavery? Which was the point when America was good?
Oh, man.
Or better than now. Like, I think things are better than now is what I'm saying. I don't believe in this America of the mind. I think that people who say that are a little foggier than I. They might be the same age as I, but they're foggier than I, and they're like, they're having selective memory. Like, I remember when a moon pie was a nickel and there were Republicans in the White House.
Well, I think you're right. Technology does play a big part in that. I think a lot of the older generation is afraid of some of these LCD displays and all these buttons that, you know, what's an app?
Well, you know, there was always, even like 20 years ago, before computers were really commonplace, there was the joke of old people whose VCRs are still blinking 12 o'clock, you know?
Right.
I mean, if you can't set your VCR, computers probably make you confused and irritable, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not ragging on old people. I am old people. I'm 50. When I was a teenager and ragged on old people, I was ragging on people who were younger than 50. And I hope to live to be 94 like my father and still be babbling into a microphone somewhere.
Yeah, and it'll be a wireless microphone that's been embedded inside of your dome piece.
That goes right into everyone else's dome piece who subscribes. There'll be radio. That's Wi-Fi, right? Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, we're getting people listening in North Dakota on the radio today. You should bookmark us on the interweb so you can continue to listen to us because we're going off the air there. I have great respect for that station. I like the people that run it. I understand decisions that that radio industry people have to make for, you know, financial concerns, because radio is a tough business and it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher, especially with the FCC is nickeling, diming at everybody and overregulating everybody to where they can walk in and like say, oh, that cable's unplugged. That's a $35,000 fine. And requiring a lot more. You can still say whatever you want on the radio as long as you don't cuss, but it's harder to make money at it. So I understand decisions people have to make. But the North Dakota station that carries us is replacing us next Saturday. At this time, you tune in on that station, you're going to be hearing Sean Hannity, not the Freedom Fiends.
Ugh.
Ugh. Yeah, I told my wife that, and she said, he's not fit to wash your worms. And I agree. he's like a dumb jock version of Rush Limbaugh. Like, Rush Limbaugh, I agree with about 20% of what he says. I disagree with about 80% of what he says. But the guy's really smart. He can really craft a sentence. He can go off on a tangent and come back to what he was talking about. Sean Hannity reminds me of... And this will probably get me kicked off other stations, but Sean Hannity reminds me of I don't know, like the jock that used to beat you up, the football player that used to beat you up in high school. If that guy was promoted to like the top of your game, I guess, for no reason. The guy wants to murder people around the world. He talks about fiscal responsibility and personal responsibility. He's totally pro-war on drugs. He's totally, he's one of these people that say they're a conservative but really wants tons of regulation and wants tons of government expenditure for things that oppress people and murder people.
I've never been able to listen to it. I'm surprised you know that much about him, honestly.
Well, that's why I get the big virtual bucks in the Freedom Fiends, which means I make about $200 a month for more than full-time work, and that's more than the co-hosts get paid. You guys get a really nice dinner once a year. And free buttons. I do stuff for you. I recently sent some equipment to somebody, and he's a neocon, which is not a conservative. It's a conservative that wants to spend money like a Democrat for war and police and enforcing that the flag be displayed certain ways. This was the first station we were on, and I love the station. I love the guys that run it. It's in a really cool place. It's in that that little boomtown area in North Dakota where, they've discovered a new way to find oil, and there's, you get paid $27 an hour starting at McDonald's because everyone's quitting to work in the oil fields, and you've got, 18-year-old guys making six figures but living in their car because it's kind of like Hell on Wheels. It's kind of, from what I've heard, the TV show Hell on Wheels. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like sort of like a rough and tumble lib pair to me, libertarian paradise. But Hannity. I mean, I'm never disturbed. This is the fourth station we've been taken off of, and we are on 25 stations still. We add more stations than we lose, but we got kicked off one because they went from talk to country music. They kicked off all their talk shows. One, they sold our time to somebody else. Because we don't pay for time. One was, the guy was like, I like your politics, but you talk about all these rock musical groups and rap groups, and I don't know who they are. Like, he was totally down with our politics, but he was just like, I don't know who Nirvana and Little G is,
Yeah. Little G.
I made that up, but yeah.
Little, that'd be my rap name.
Lil Nutbag or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so it happens, but I would be totally not disturbed about it if it wasn't Hannity. If it was like, you know, oh, I don't know, the guy who runs the local gardening center buying time to do a gardening show or something. I'd be totally happy about that. But Hannity, the thing with Hannity too is it's not like they want to put Hannity on the weekends. It's like they want to take him during the week. And Hannity is one of those 900-pound talk radio gorillas that if you take him during the week, you have to play his best of on the weekend. So his best of is our slot. So basically, you know, he's not even live. He's just taking our slot to play like has been shows from the previous week.
Oh, that's no fun. Yeah. Doesn't he already have a TV show anyhow?
He has TV. He has, I think he even has like printed newsletters for old people that don't know how to use the internet. My dad gets newsletters from Sarah Palin. Like my dad sends money to Sarah Palin and he gets newsletters like every quarter. And he calls me, like he called me one time and he was like, did you hear what's happening with that standoff at that ranch in Texas? And I'm like, dad, it's in Nevada. And that was over like 4 months ago, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
He still got it through the snail mail.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, he gets it. It's all good. Yeah. So, you know, Hannity is the school bully beating up the fiends and taking our slot in North Dakota. So
if taking our lunch money,
So if you're in North Dakota listening to the Freedom Fiends, you should today, if you like us, make a note to go to freedomfiends.com. That's the word freedom. And then fiends is spelled Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra. Freedom Fiends, FEENS, Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra.
FreedomFiends.com. Look for the kitty pictures.
Yeah. So you should go there and bookmark that. And you can get it on your little chromed robot turd thing. You know, there's the Stitcher app. There's all sorts of apps. You can probably get it better than terrestrial radio in rural areas. It's possible. But
download it.
We're signing off and saluting the station in North Dakota. It's the first station we're on. Thank you for your service.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
My name is Sean Vanity, and I'm throwing a football at your face. Oh, wait, no, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Sandworm, Wyoming, which is a suburb of Franny, Wyoming, which used to be a booming metropolis and a uranium mining town where they would literally do fracking to mine uranium. Yeah, we do that here. They do that here in Wyoming. But the price of uranium dropped from $26 a pound to $6 a pound, and it turned into a ghost town. And, you know, I took my my millions of dollars that I've made at the Freedom Fiends and bought this town, Sandworm, Wyoming. I own the town. I'm the mayor. I'm the chief of police. I'm the board of directors. I'm the city council. And if you don't like it, get out. Sandworm, Wyoming. Yep. So
it makes me think of Beetlejuice.
Makes me think, what's the movie with the worms, the big sand, the horrible side?
Tremors
with Kevin Bacon.
And, I loved that movie.
Yeah. I like the prepper couple in it who actually saved the day. Like back then, they actually like, you know, would call preppers weird in movies, but actually have them be the heroes. Now they just call them crazy people that don't love the government.
And then they always wind up being right.
Isn't there a guy in Ohio who shot a bunch of cops and he's hiding out
in like 300,000 acres of federal land and they can't find him. They have no idea where he is.
I have not heard of this.
Yeah. And it's a tough nut because he's a survivalist type. And he actually, it's a horrible story. I mean, he's just not good to shoot people. But the funny thing about it is he actually robbed one of his prepper neighbors and took a bunch of his food supplies and his truck before he ran out. But he left money with a note like, sorry, here you go.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't even know where to look for him. And he's a guy who's like, you know, lived off the land off the grid for 6 months before. So they don't know what to do about that, but they'll probably just use FLIR from the air and hunt him down like a dog. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I want
to
talk
nowhere to hide.
I want to complain about businesses. So
let's do that.
Here in Sandworm, Wyoming, it's hard to get good internets, and I've actually been having problems with internets lately where you know, I have cable. I have like high speed cable. But about once a week I don't have enough internets around showtime at night to do the show. And at first I thought it was, my wife said it's probably all the neighborhood men. Because, you know, cable is different than DSL. DSL's, I may end up getting DSL if I think I could do the show with that. Because DSL is consistent. Cable, you share with your neighbors. And like during high usage times, your usage ability goes down. My wife said it's probably all the husbands in the area surfing porn after their wives go to sleep. Because it's literally like our showtime from like, you know, 11 p.m. till 1, around there, give or take an hour. I don't have internets about once a week. So I was considering switching from Charter, who is my internet provider, who have given me less than happy service over the years. And the thing is, though, there's only one other company that provides cable. I mean, you could get satellite internet, but that is too much latency to do a show.
I was just about to ask you about that.
Yeah. You could get 4G, but that has too much latency. And the 4G here always switches to 3G. So basically,
yeah, that's not going
to
be a good option for recording audio and broadcasting audio.
Right. So basically, Charter Cable is who I'm with. The other option is CenturyLink. I've read horror stories about both. They're both like on all the consumer, you know, review this thing sites. First of all, neither are listed on Angie's List. Like, I don't think people in Wyoming can use Angie's List or something. I don't know. Because it seems like on Angie's List, internet service is the most complained about and reviewed thing all over the country. It says that on Angie's List. But there is not a single review for the two cable providers here in Casper. I mean, Sandworm.
They can't connect to the website.
They can't connect to it to do a review. Yeah, so I looked at other reviews, and Charter and CenturyLink are considered tied for dead last for all the providers, and they're the only two providers here. So
I guess there's no fiber out there, huh? No fiber optics?
Maybe. There's fiber optics in buildings. I was talking to the guy they sent over the other day from the cable company, and he said that there's actually a new building in town. It's like low-income housing that has high-speed cable built in the walls, but everybody there is having problems with their internet.
Mm.
So I look up, and I'm thinking of switching. I was going to switch, and I saw this thing on the CenturyLink site that was mind-blowing. It said, fill out your name and phone number, and we'll have someone give you a call. And it says, by clicking agree to be called, you agree that we can place orders without your permission. I'm like, yeah. What? I just want a quote, and you're going to like sign me up to a social contract?
With Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF,
We don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund. Or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Iron Feather, a tax collector, microbeam days of old. Would you tar and feather a tax collector for taking and keeping all your gold?
That was a toe-tapping little number by the rock musical group called Right Arm of Wyoming. And if you're a program director out there and you're listening and thinking, I like your guys' politics, but I don't get the musical references... Of course you don't know Right Arm of Wyoming. It's my one-man band. I recorded that in my basement with a computer. Yes, you can record things on computers. This is the Freedom Fiends, and we are throwing footballs of truth at your face.
I actually have that sitting right next to me, your Right Arm of Wyoming, on a compact disc.
That is old school. I put it out in 2010, I think, and I actually paid to press 1,000 CDs of it and gave them away and sold them and made my money back, but that was the last thing I'm probably ever going to put out on physical media, man. I actually, like, the Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom movie came out in 2012, and I wrote a bunch of, you know, libertarian rock stars, celebritarians, and said, hey, do you want a copy of this to review or listen to or watch? You know, I had a digital version of it that they could just download, and I had a DVD of it. And one guy, I think it was Stefan Kinsella, wrote back. It was pretty funny. He was like, DVD? What century is this? Send me the link to download it, which was an apt answer even in 2012. So we're talking about technology and how it changes throughout our lives. Oh, I just got an email from someone who said he was listening to Sean Hannity. This is why this is mind-blowing to me, is these people are posers, okay? Sean Hannity was talking today on the radio, trying to sound like he's a gun guy, and he was talking about 1911s, you know, the best 45 ever, 1911. Sure. And he called it a 1918.
Oh, nice.
That guy's a poser. I mean, you could say, yeah, people make mistakes when they're live on the air. First of all, he won't correct it, probably. Second of all, you don't make that mistake if you're a gun guy. That'd be like saying, I love the USB instead of the USA. I mean, it's really conflating. Like, yeah, there was a war in 1918. He's conflating one historical thing with the name of a gun. The guy is a poser, man. I don't know why anybody would listen to him. And, you know, it's considered really bad form in any industry to badmouth other people in the industry. Like, it looks petty, and it's more like you're just supposed to all support each other. But Sean Hannity would not support us. He would probably want us in a gulag if he listened to us. I never bought the thing of like, oh, it's radio, we all stick together. Or it's rock music, we all stick together. Especially when it's someone like Hannity who's just wrong. I mean, that guy is evil. He wants to be in constant war. He wants to murder drone people around the world, and doesn't care if innocent bystanders get hit when they're going after someone who may or may not be a bad guy. That's just evil, man. That's the guy calls himself a Christian. Who would Jesus drone? Tell me that.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even listen to that stuff. All those talking heads. I mean, it's not just Hannity. It's you say they all want to work together. They're all on the same team. But when you actually listen to them, it's all me, 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 me. Wrong.
Yeah, well, the neocon thing, I mean, came out of Nixon. And Nixon was not a conservative. Nixon started the FDA, the EPA, the Equal Rights, the ERA, all sorts of intrusive. And I'm not saying women shouldn't have equal rights. I'm saying a government mandate is not the way to do it. Nixon did horrible things. Nixon started the war on drugs, which – a lot of people who don't take drugs. I don't take drugs, but I don't think it's a good thing. A lot of people were like, yes, get those pesky drug dealers. Sean Hannity's one of those people. But the thing is, then those people complain when the police want to take your guns. The police want to take your guns because of the war on drugs. The war on drugs has given police, and politicians have given police, the right to do whatever they want. So in a couple years, when your door gets kicked in for your 1918 gun, Sean Hannity, your 1918 sidearm, your Jeff Cooper sidearm, it's a 1911, man. You know, blame the war on drugs. I will be. I won't be living here then. You know, they say if you don't love America, get out. I don't even know what do you love America is. I mean, I love a lot of the land here. I love a lot of people here, but I've actually traveled and the whole world's really cool, man. And I don't think I'm going to be one of these people that just digs into my heels and lines up for, you know, the TSA search at the Walmart when that happens. I'm not going to do it. And if I could click my heels and move all my assets and my wife, my wife, if my wife and I could move all our assets as easily as we could change our, you know, internet company, we'd be living in Prague or we'd be living in Mexico. Or we'd be living somewhere else. I don't even know what, if you don't love America, get out means, but I know that I don't want to be someplace that is on an irrevocable downward spiral to tyranny. I don't want to be there, man.
If you don't like America, you can get out, but make sure you ask for permission first.
Yeah, and they'll take most of your money on the way out the door.
And you can never come back.
You can never come back. Yeah. So I want to talk about technology, because I really think I think the blockchain is going to make Sean Hannity more irrelevant than he is. And Sean Hannity's one of these people that, like, today he's probably doing something on Bitcoin is failing because it went from $500 Bitcoin to $400 in a few weeks.
Oh, sure.
That doesn't mean it's failing. That means it's on sale, man. He'd never right. say that when the price of gold dips because he's shilling for gold companies. And they're not the right gold companies because Midas Resources is the right gold company. Okay.
Bitcoin killed the e-gold.
The e-gold? What's the e-gold? Oh, the e-gold. E-gold never really caught on, did it?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure there was a few people that got in on it, but I mean, that just kind of seems sketchy to me. I don't want to, if I'm buying gold, I want the physical thing.
I want it so when I just sneak out to Prague in the middle of the night, I could put it in my shoe and I don't have to ask for permission to have it transferred. So we're talking about technology. The one thing we want to talk was my cable company. That's not mine. It's the one that the thing is, these companies have almost, monopolies. I mean, it's a corporatist environment. People want to pass net neutrality to try to fix it. Net neutrality is going to take away your rights and drive up the price of internet and censor you more. And they're selling it as it would do the opposite. No, it's not going to help you. It's a big government plot to take your internets.
And isn't it a duopoly? Like, you only have two different providers in any, you know, geographical location. I've never lived anywhere where you had like a third option.
I have, like, L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, New York City, and Austin. Austin has free internet that's like 12 times as fast as cable. But that's just something that Google's rolling out as a test.
Oh, right.
Do you know Casper, Wyoming was the first city in the nation to get cable TV? It was like in the late 60s.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, they always test that stuff in the little towns. So if it doesn't go well, people won't notice in the big cities, I think, is why they do it. But I think, so Charter Cable, this is an article from Stop the Cap, which is it's a watchdog group of internet provider problems. It's kind of like, Consumer Reports for internet users. So stopthecap.com has this article from May 18th, 2011. Charter Cable tells tornado victims to look around for the cable boxes or else. And here's the note they sent people. This is in Alabama. Well, I think it was in Alabama, but some of the cable boxes were found in Georgia. So they said, look around your neighborhood for your cable box. If you cannot find it, you owe us $212 and either need to pay us or make an insurance claim on your behalf. Now,
I mean, really, in a libertarian society, that would probably be the truth anyway. Although in a libertarian society, a cable box would probably be like $1.50, you know, on the internet, sold on the internet. But it's really bad form and bad timing to send that letter out, like when people, you know,
don't have a house.
They might, yeah, but they still have the mailbox on the post in front of their house. I actually lived in a house. I was squatting, and it was actually a guy owned his house, but he didn't want to turn on the electricity. He was saving his money for to get married. He was a really weird guy. It was in a nice neighborhood in Arlington, Virginia. I went on tour with my band, and I came back, and the neighbors had burned this guy's house to the ground, but the mailbox was still on the stick out by the street, and I was still getting mail at this like pile of ashes.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure the first thing you would want to do is walk around looking for the cable box.
Yeah, you know, not looking for your pet or your children or all your worldly possessions or your wedding photo album or anything like that. But no, or your birth certificate or your identification or your bank, you know, your...
Or a place to sleep
tonight.
Or a place
tonight. To sleep, yeah. No, go find the cable box and give it to us. Yeah, and the thing backfired. It ended up costing them a lot of money. It cost them a lot of goodwill. A lot of people like that still had, you know, that weren't hit by the tornado in that area canceled their service, went to someone else. They ended up having Good. To give a lot of money to the Red Cross, and we're totally committed to disaster relief, and you don't need to find your cable boxes. We'll write it off. Yeah, corporations can be really... act like big bullied lumbering dinosaurs with no contact with the real world. Sometimes it's just part of the corporate culture. You've worked in corporate culture, but not for big corporations, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit smaller and it's a different industry too. I mean, you know, I'm in the construction industry, so.
Yeah. So it's run by the mafia. I'm kidding.
Well, if by mafia, you mean unions, then yes.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, legal mafia. And any union workers out there who are yelling at their radio right now, first of all, you're really square because you're yelling at your radio. The radio said bad things about me. Second of all, it's like people always defend their little form of tyranny and protectionism. You know, I mean, I like the idea of unions. I like that, you know, I don't think that people asking for more money should be machine gunned. And that's why unions started, was to protect against things like that. But, you know, it's one of those things where it started as a good thing and it became this lumbering beast. And, you know, by the 50s, unions were hopelessly corrupt. I mean, they just kind of, you know, they do get a wage for the little guy, for the working man. But basically what that does is drives manufacturing to other countries. And you can say, well, we'll have tariffs to protect that as much as you want. But then you're just saying, I want more government. And it doesn't really work. You can't tariff people. People will find ways to do backdoors and get their widgets made in China. Or
yeah.
The Philippines or South Korea or Taiwan or India. We'll be back, man.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we are not your grandpa's radio talk radio. Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio. But if you're listening,
unless your grandpa's really cool.
But if you're listening to us in North Dakota, bookmark the Freedom Fiends website, because next time this week you'll be hearing Sean Hannity, who is your grandpa's talk radio. We are not your grandpa's talk radio, and but that's the free market, you know, the biggest and slowest win. It's kind of unfortunate when there's so much truth out there. But if you just want to hear America's great, we got to kill everybody, USA, rah, 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 USB, rah, rah, rah. I got my hand on my Jimmy Gat, my 1918, as Sean Hannity likes to say, of his Jeff Cooper model 1911. That's so square, man. It's so square. If you're ever in Wyoming, I'm not paid by the Chamber of Commerce of Wyoming, but if you're ever in Wyoming, if you're ever in Cody, Wyoming, please visit the Buffalo Bill Cody Museums. They are the most awesome museums in the world. There's five museums for one ticket price, and you can see them all in a day if you go through really quick. And they have the Firearm Museum there has the largest publicly viewable collection of firearms in the world.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Kim Jong-un probably has a bigger collection in his living room, but we can't view it. So, yeah, because he steals all the money. He steals all the money from the people that they want to spend on food and things and spends it on his own stuff, which is really, you know, they always say, statists always say, if you don't love the government, move to Somalia. I say, if you love government, move to North Korea. Because that's the end game of it, really. It's only a matter of degrees. You know, everything that Sean Hannity and those guys are yelling for, you just take that a few more degrees down the continuum and you got North Korea. I'm not going to compare him to Hitler. I'm going to compare him to Kim Jong-un.
That's what I never understood about small government. You know, it's like, well then what's the point? All government does is grow and grow and grow and well, see more power. It's hard to put it back in a little box.
Yeah, I think the theory with small government people is government is bad, so government should only do really important things.
Catch 22 there.
Yeah, it is.
So, an endless cycle.
So we're going to get off Obama's a horrible person and he's a liar and he's a socialist and his feet stink. And I think it's a rule or a law that I have to say something like that once every hour. And I do believe it. So I've said it. We're going to talk about technology for the next five segments, which is the rest of the show. Are you a fan of technology, Garrett?
It's what gets me up in the morning.
You're not afraid of it?
I embrace it with every leap and bound that it makes.
What gets you up in the morning? Some sort of like Rube Goldberg digital clock device that you've 3D printed that like drops a cheese whiz into your mouth while you're snoring?
Interestingly enough, it's actually just my cell phone.
Well, then technology literally gets you up in the morning. But
literally.
But it gives you a reason to be, too. You know, they say... There's a thing in AA, and you'll know this in a few years when I drag you kicking and screaming into AA, because you like your alcohol. Oh, by the way, let's take a side trip here and pimp the Freedom Fiends Jim Jesus edition, the Libpair edition of the Cards for Humanity expansion deck. What is that?
Okay, well, I know we've talked about the game
Cards
before.
Against Humanity. Let's say what the game is. There's this game. It's kind of like apples to apples for, like, malcontents. It's basically a card game where you have put half of a sentence on one card and half a sentence on the other card. And then what's the goal? What do?
Well, the idea is, you know, you say you have six people. One person gets to lay out a card, and everybody else has to look at their hand of cards and decide what would be the funniest or the wittiest, the smartest way to resolve that card. Like if it's a sentence with some blanks in it, you have to fill in the blank essentially, or just put something that is comparative to that. And then eventually the person who put out the initial card will pick which one he thinks is the best, and that person wins that round. So the idea is to, as a player, to collect the most cards, and you win in the end.
Yeah, but they're all like really dark things or really funny things that wouldn't be family friendly. So we'll link the Cards Against Humanity expansion deck. And I do want to mention that Rangel, as in Senator Charlie Rangel, Rangel is another word for bird vomit or hawk vomit or the stones that birds eat to vomit. So We'd like to hear now from Senator Hawk Vomit from the great state of New York. That's the guy that wants to bring the draft back. Conservatives want to bring the draft back sometimes. If you agree about bringing the draft back, you're agreeing with the worst Democrat that there is, Charlie Rangel. That guy's corrupt for a Democrat. He's been asked to step down by Nancy Pelosi, and he's like, "No, I've been here before you, and I'll be here after you. I'm not stepping down." He's that horrible, man. Senator Hawk Vomit from the great state of New York.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, talking to Garrett Fox from the Freedom Fiends, and we are members of the International Brotherhood of Talk Radio Hosts, Saxophone Solo Players, Piano Tuners, and Horse and Buggy Whip Manufacturers.
Yep, we're going to hold on to that technology as long as we can.
Yep. Speaking of which, this is the last time I'll mention it, but if you're listening to us in North Dakota, in the great state of North Dakota, and it is a great state, and it's a great station around there, but we're not going to be on that station next week. Sean Hannity will be filling our spot, because apparently there's not enough of him in the world, and there's too much of the Freedom Fiends, and somebody is redistributing the wealth and taking away the Freedom Fiends 26th station and removing it down to 25 stations, and Sean Hannity, who I think is only on about 500 stations, so he needs that 501st station. And, you know, you can listen to Sean Hannity sound like a gun guy, but call it 1911 and 1918. So, you know, if that's what you want to listen to on Saturdays at noon in North Dakota, you can. If not, or even if you still want to listen to that, you can listen to the Freedom Fiends streaming. There's a bunch of ways to listen to us. Go to the Freedom Fiends site. That's Freedom and then Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra for you military men or ham radio operators. So we're talking about technology, and there was an interesting. I was talking about 3D printers with you during the break, and yeah. Then there was an ad. It was talking over me. It was talking about NASA is putting 3D printers on the space station, and I'm like, you know, that's kind of funny because, like, really, they didn't do it. Like, 3D printers have been around so long now that, like, you bought one, you haven't even assembled it yet, and you said it's almost obsolete.
Yep, yeah, it's old enough to the point where I pretty much gave up on it because there's better ones out there already that you can purchase right out of the box for. If I calculated the amount of time I've spent working on this thing, it would have been cheaper to just go ahead and buy one.
Yeah. And it's
They sell them at box stores now.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny because, like, NASA used to be far and beyond the cutting edge of technology. Like, the world looked to NASA of, oh my God, they put a man on the moon. And now NASA, this is what government bureaucracy and government unions lead to is, you know, 50 years later, 45 years after they put the man on the moon, NASA is finally putting a 3D printer on the International Space Station, like, what, 5 years after, you know, consumers could buy a 3D printer?
Yeah.
They probably bought it at Walmart, too. And they probably have the same one you have that's already obsolete.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think they could probably get a hold of a pretty decent 3D printer.
Well, because they're the government. They have all the money. They have your money. They have my money. They print money. You know, it's a pretty good racket being in the government. I wonder, I was watching Bones. You ever watch Bones?
A long time ago, but I've seen a few episodes.
Yeah, it's a tolerable, you know, forensic show. But it has a lot of statism in it. It has a lot of patriotism in it. It's got the character Booth, who's a FBI guy, who's really, like, I mean, he's like a parody of a cop. He's like, arrest them and figure out later if they're guilty. They're probably guilty because they've been arrested. Like, he's said both of those things in the season I'm watching.
Oh, geez.
But, you know, I was wondering, all these people that work at high levels of the government, you know, all the three-letter organization designations, you know, the people who make seven times what they'd make in the private sector if their job existed at all in the private sector when you factor in all the benefits. And they're uber patriotic. They're like, I love my country. That's why I have to violate the Constitution and kill Americans sometimes and spy on all of them. You know, would those people be so uber patriotic if they made minimum wage with no benefits? I think the patriotism is just tied to the government lets them steal money, basically.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they keep getting those checks, why not?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting when those checks run out. You know, that's the thing is, like, I think it's foolish for the American military to be all over the world trying to act like the cops of the world, because, and this is nothing against military people, but how many military people would still be fighting if they got no paycheck forever?
Right.
Some would. Some absolutely would. But the people they're fighting are people being attacked on their homeland who will fight to the death on no money forever. You know, you can't defeat that with a paycheck army.
Yeah. And I feel bad with this whole Ebola breakout stuff. I forget where they're going now.
I'd rather have them, you know, shooting at germs than shooting at people.
Yeah, but if I'm in a country and there's this Ebola breakout scare, the last thing I want is
boots
a
on
foreign
the ground
government
a foreign,
coming
yeah.
in to you know
yeah,
control
and, you
the
know,
situation.
And anyone who thinks I'm sounding seditious or sounding you don't love America or anything like that, picture the reverse. Okay, the reverse would be Red Dawn. And of course you'd be out there with your rifles. I mean, that's why we love Red Dawn. We watch Red Dawn and we stroke our rifles and clean them. We do that once a year. Don't you? I do.
Get the oil out.
Yeah. Get out my 1918 sidearm. No, it's a 1911, Sean Hannity. God, that is disgusting when someone tries to sound like a gun guy and miscalls it. I doubt he'll do a retraction. You know,
yeah. We liked guns before it was cool.
Yeah, so we're going to we'll have them after they're really uncool. Yeah, there you go. So we want to talk about technology. So I'm going to take a page from the Sean Hannity book of USA, USA. I'm going to talk about technology with Garrett, and I'm going to say USB, USB. So we're going to talk about technology. I want to start with a story I've told before, but we have new listeners all the time because it's radio and because it's internet. I'm 50. I'm 50 years old. I was born in 1964. When I was 10 in 1974, my sister was an exchange student with Rotary International, and she went to South Africa for a year, and we got a woman named Magda from Belgium for 6 months living with us in exchange.
Okay.
And then we got a guy from Germany whose name was Adolf, and I kid you not. For 6 months. I had a guy named Adolf living with
me. That was a popular name over there, yeah.
I don't think so, because he's born after World War II, man. It shouldn't be a popular name.
Okay.
But he was from East Germany, so they had different values, I guess. I don't know. So we called her on the phone once in 1974 in Africa. We had to arrange it ahead of time with postcards. We had to, or with airmail letters, we had to call the phone company a day ahead of time and arrange to have an international operator to arrange the call.
You had to take out a loan.
Basically, the call was $10 a minute. We talked for 10 minutes. I got 1 minute and my mother had an egg timer. And I had to write out what I was going to say ahead of time because, phone calls were so expensive. It was $100 in 1974 dollars, which would probably be, I don't know. And $10 a minute, and we took it was $100 for the phone call. What is that in current dollars? $300, something like that.
It's yeah, pretty close. Yeah,
yeah. So a phone call, a 10-minute phone call to another nation in 1974 cost $300 in current money. You can call Africa with much better sound quality and less latency for free right now on Skype, or Skype to a telephone for, a 10-minute call would probably be about $3. Maybe. Yep. And you could probably do it from your home phone to someone in Africa's home phone for $10. You know, it depends on your calling plan, but my calling plan, my home phone, I can call anywhere in America free anytime. I can call Canada, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, American Samoa, you know, any of the American things that America owns, but doesn't.
You still have a home phone too. That's impressive.
I do, because I call radio stations all day and the sound quality is better. And I have a wireless wired phone. It's a landline with a wireless handset, and I can, you know, walk around the house doing errands while calling stations.
What's a handset?
A handset? That's a good question. Well, Billy, when I was your age. So technology, we want to talk about changes. I don't think about this much because, you know, technology is just what you use to do real stuff like doing radio shows. But I needed to buy a hard drive to back up all the Freedom Fiends data. It's getting just an absurd amount of data. We're coming up on our 500th episode this Wednesday night. That's pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah. Hear, hear.
Woo. So and it's going to be Diana. Or Diana and Davi, who knows? Might make a party of it. Maybe I'll have all 12 hosts on. Have Ben Stone wake him up in the middle of the night. I can't find my microphone. Is this thing on? So I bought a 4 terabyte hard drive on Amazon. It was $165 plus $10 shipping, or $8 shipping, something like that. So $175, 4 terabytes.
I wonder how many 3.5-inch floppy disks that is.
Someone out there should do the math and let us know. Probably a dump truck full.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're 1.4 megs each, the old ones, right? So let's round down to one. If it was 1 megabyte each, a terabyte, well, let's see, a gigabyte would be 1,000 of those, and a terabyte would be 1 million of those. So let's see, it's 1.5. So it'd be about 750,000 floppy disks.
Yep, that's a big pile. That's like the stack of cash from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no, bigger. You know, I looked at those pictures of the meme that was going around where it said, we should have kept the meth because of the devaluation of the dollar.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay, I made that one. I'm not pro-meth, but I'm pro-funny stuff. Yeah, that's... no, it'd be bigger. That stack wasn't that high, man. It was, like, waist high. No, I think it would be a dump truck full of floppy disks. So the thing is, I remember in 1997 going to a computer trade show at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. And the, like, centerpiece of this whole, you know, 5 football field size room of, you know, tech booths was a 1 terabyte drive. And it was the size of a refrigerator. And it cost $100,000. And you could rent one for, like, $3,000 a month or something. And it was like people were gathering around it. It was kind of like the monolith at the beginning of 2001: A Space Odyssey, and the monk with the monkeys trying to touch it. I mean, they had a velvet rope around it. They had it lit like a movie star. They had some bimbo going, you know, a presenter girl presenting it. They had a speech. Everyone applauded. It was a 1 terabyte drive, and I just bought a drive that's 4 of those. Not very many years later,
and it fits on your desk.
And government still thinks it's relevant. That's what I'm getting at.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed.
but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. And I want to apologize. The math that I did for how many floppy disks would be on a modern drive, would it take to fill a modern drive, was for 1 terabyte. I said it was 750,000. My new drive is 4 terabytes, so that's 3 million. So 3 million 3.5-inch floppy disks. That would probably be a dump truck full. Yeah, so we're going to talk about technology and how it's changed in our lifetimes and since we had our 1918 sidearms. No, it's 1911, Sean Vanity. He got it wrong. All right. And, you know, 1911 is still a wonderful piece of technology, and every child should own one. Every responsible child. I don't know. It's got a heavy trigger pull. I don't know if a kid could use it. It's a pretty big gun. I don't know if a kid could hold it, but... So technology, Garrett, you're 29. How have things changed vastly in your life?
Well, you know, I remember VCRs and compact discs and cassette tapes. Remember tapes?
I bought a cassette player recently in the past year for $5 at, what are those places called?
Flea market?
Where Christians sell things that you bring in free. Salvation Army.
Oh, Yeah.
I bought it because my sister cleaned out my mother. You know, my mother died, and my sister finally went through her attic. I don't know, 20 or 15 years later. And she found a cassette tape I'd made when I was in college. It was like a recording I did for my independent project in school. It was like a 1-hour piece where I played all the instruments. I didn't have a copy of it. She sent it to me, and I went to Salvation Army, bought a cassette player for $5, brought it home, took a Q-tip, cleaned the heads on it with rubbing alcohol, and then let it dry, and then popped the tape in, plugged it into my computer, digitized it, and remastered it, and released it. And I haven't touched the cassette player since. It's in my basement. I played in bands that recorded on 16-track and 24-track 1-inch and 2-inch tape. I used to develop film in a dark room. Used to take film for developing to the drugstore and wait a week for it to come back. I used to do the same thing with Super 8 film, video, movie film. I had a Super 8 camera when I was 15. I was born in 64, so 79, something like that.
Okay, see, and just in that amount of time, I had a VCR, or not a VCR, a VHS camcorder, this honking big camera thing that you had to hold on your shoulder and like look through a viewfinder. Actually had to like put your face inside of this little tunnel thing.
It didn't have a little LCD on it.
Right.
My first digital camera I bought in 1997, and it was used. It was like last year's camera refurbished, and it was really low res. I think it was like 640 by 480 image. You know, like each image was like 70K, and now each image is like, you know, 70 megs on a good camera, you know, like 1,000 times the resolution.
Yeah.
Not 70, but 20 easily. And it was, it had a flat screen viewfinder on it, but it took color pictures, but the LCD viewfinder was black and white.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I remember that same thing with old, like, Hi8 video cameras, you know, tape, analog, digital, pre-digital analog video cameras. They often were color but had a black and white. You know what's kind of interesting? There are people who do kind of, like, steampunk media, you know, where, like, a guy who's made a lot of films on digital will go buy a Hi8 analog camera and do a movie on it. Blair Witch was shot on a Hi8 camera. It was the color is Hi8, you know, like a $300 camera from, I think they got it at Best Buy or Walmart. And the black and white is a 16mm film camera. And they recorded separate sync sound on a DAT recorder.
And then you had to actually tape the tape together to splice together a movie?
No, but I did cut I did edit. I have cut tape and I have cut movie film before to edit, which actually kind of made me a lot better at editing when I actually got to do it on a computer. I also embraced digital media production pretty early on. I was editing multi-track audio on a computer in 1997, and I was editing digital video by 1999 or 2000, I think.
So you weren't afraid of the pixels?
No, man. No, I was just incredibly frustrated by the speed of the computers and the software. And
okay, yeah.
I think Adobe Premiere had a maximum output of 640 by 480 back then. I mean, that was the resolution. 720 by 540 is mini DV, which was a revolutionary format. And now mini DV looks like old and crunchy to me.
Please be kind. Rewind.
I remember that. Yeah. Don't copy that floppy. Yeah. We'll be back on an old technology talking about new technology.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
USB, 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 USB. Why am I saying USB, Garrett?
Well, it's an interesting thing. If you live in America and you love it and you have a really good popular radio show and you start chanting out USB and suddenly you realize you meant USA.
Yeah, like Sean Vanity calling a 1911 sidearm the Jeff Cooper model of 45, which a lot of people say is the only gun you need to have. I'd say that and a good rifle. But yeah, he called it the 1918. He's not a gun guy. He just plays one on the radio.
I mean, that's a standard issue for a lot of police, law enforcement.
It used to be. Well, put it this way. It's known as the government model. And since right. Sean Hannity loves the government, he should know the real designation of the government model sidearm. He probably doesn't even know the word sidearm. He probably calls a rifle a gun. He's so square. Okay, so he is your grandpa's talk radio. I don't know. This might be like career suicide, bashing Sean Hannity. He's probably got an app on his BlackBerry, on his old school, on his handspring to like delete my radio show from radio. I don't know.
It's on his PDA.
On his PDA, yeah. He has his assistant send a fax, and they take me off all the radio stations, so... That guy's square. He loves murder. He loves taxes. He loves government. He says he doesn't, but he does. And he's not a gun guy. And he plays one on the radio. He's I'm not going to call him a fraud, but he's a dumb dumb about guns. Yeah. Yep.
You know, as we've been talking about all this technology stuff, I'm looking through all these different articles and everything, and it occurred to me that so many things have been condensed into a computer that fits in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I made a list in 1996. Let's see. Okay, I first got on the internet in 1991 at the San Francisco Public Library using a protocol called Gopher, which is a text-based, you know, you could go like Telnet in or something to the University of Wisconsin and look at their repository of text files of, you know, things that were in the public domain. Like, it was kind of like that. And you could sort of chat with other weirdos. I first owned a computer at home in 1993. I had a Office Equipment International XT8086, which I wrote my first novel on 5.5-inch floppies, and then transferred to another computer, then to another computer, and then finished it and published it in the year 2000. I was first on the internet at home in 1996 and immediately had a website and was immediately recording like little talking things of myself and putting them on the internet. I wish I still had some. I think somewhere I still have a Real Audio. Remember Real Audio before
no.
before MP3s? Horrible format. I have some Real Audio. I was basically podcasting before there was podcasting, like before there were RSS feeds. But I could only make like 5 minute pieces and had to record them and had to upload them in really low resolution, like, you know, walkie talkie sounding, like 16K. Because bandwidth, most people were on dial-up. I was on DSL in 96 because, like, four cities had it. One was San Francisco, and you had to live within 1,000 feet of a phone company. And I did.
Yeah, I lived out in the sticks, so all we had was dial-up for the longest time. It was a huge deal when we got our first satellite dish.
When did you get some fast internets? What year?
It was probably 2000, maybe 98 to 2000, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it was satellite, which isn't that fast, and it has latency.
Oh, it was lightning quick compared to what we were used to.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, getting DSL even, you know, which is nowhere near as fast as cable, but getting DSL going from dial-up, I mean, I first got it connected at my house, and I, like, hit a web page. It wasn't Google. Google didn't exist. I went to Yahoo, and it loaded instantly, and I was like, oh, my God, this is going to extend my lifespan. I mean, it felt like taking weights off my legs running or something.
Yeah
I could see the light.
Speaking of running, how far would you have to run to get to a payphone
right now?
Yeah,
a couple miles. There's a payphone. Yeah, that's another thing that's kind of the past. There's the only place there's payphones anymore are like rural courthouses and in prisons and in jails. There is a you know, I live out here in Sandworm, Wyoming, but it's not that far from Casper. We go in once a month with the covered wagon to get supplies from the Walmart. And the courthouse in Casper, Wyoming has an old school wooden little box room stand in it payphone, you know, Superman payphone.
Yeah, Superman's changing room.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's kind of funny too, how they portray technology. A lot of times, like a movie, you know, you can't really tell what year it's supposed to take place or what year it was made, except for the technology. Like when you see a cathode ray tube computer screen on someone's desk, you're like, okay, this movie is at least 8 years old.
I was watching this show called Undeclared. It's from the people that made Freaks and Geeks. It's got like Seth Rogen and all them in it. And it was filmed back in 2000, I believe. And these guys were still running around. Like, they got all excited because they got the new volume of Girls Gone Wild on VHS. Like, they were doing their homework on these, like, old tube monitors and everything. I'm sitting there like, wow, has it changed that much in the last 15 years?
Yeah, the movie War Games, and that was before most people had computers at home or knew what the internet was. And he was connecting over an acoustic coupling modem, the ones where you take a telephone and put the handset in a little thing with a speaker and a microphone.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember going to the library to use the Xerox machine for a dime.
I remember wanting to order a pizza and you had to like go get this book with all these thin yellow pages in it.
What do you mean?
A phone book?
Oh, yeah. I still have a phone book only because I don't throw them out when they throw them on my porch. I keep them because, you know, I realize that, like, if the power goes out, as it does often in Sandworm, Wyoming, and I need to call an electrician, I won't be able to get on the internets to find the number for the electrician. But I generally just search everything online.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I haven't even really thought about that. Of course, if our power goes out, we just call the main office.
I think the reason they still have Xerox machines in libraries is because, first of all, it's because of old, I wouldn't say old people, but old minded people, like governments that still demand things on paper. And because of copyright, like, you know, if you go into a library with a scanner and start, scanning all the pages in a book, they're probably going to call the police on you. But if you go in and photocopy a few pages for personal use, they probably won't.
Right.
I'd hope. What other technologies? Radio. Radio's been around for 100 years, and the way radio is done, other than us connecting over the internet to the network, and satellites beaming it down. Like, the way terrestrial radio works hasn't changed much since the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember video stores and record stores?
Yeah, I mean, not that long ago. I mean, I got married 8 years ago, and I remember when, and my wife and I dated for a year before that and lived together for 6 months before that. And I remember, like, 8.5 years ago, us being, you know, bored some night and be like, let's go down to Blockbuster and rent some DVDs.
Maybe they'll have some VHSs on sale.
maybe they'll have something I want to watch is more like what it is.
You know, I miss that. I really do miss going to the store and kind of browsing the aisles.
You're
and everything.
Old. That's old. That's old people talk, man.
Or the same thing with going to, like, you know, record and tape traders. You could sit there and browse through the new music. It wasn't just like an email you got from iTunes or something.
You know what's funny? iTunes recently did a promotion where they paid U2, the band U2. They paid them $100 million for the right to use them in their commercial to promote iTunes, and for the right to basically give away their new album to everybody on iTunes. Like, everybody on iTunes got a free copy of the U2 album. Yep. And it kind of showed how out of touch even Apple can be with people, because a lot of people were like, I don't want this in my library, and it was hard to get rid of. They had to immediately issue directions on how to delete the new U2 album. There might be people that think that's devil music and, like, think they feel tainted if it's in their library, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's one of those things. Don't force this on me. I didn't ask for it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's devil music, but I think it is New World Order music. I like the band U2, but that guy Bono, man, he's like, yeah, I'm partying with, you know, the Pope and George Bush and Barack Obama. He's really one worldy, man. He really is.
Can you imagine if they, like, did that back in the mid-90s and just sent everybody the CD through their mailboxes?
I remember when rock stars hated governments. I remember when John Lennon, like, gave back, when they knighted the Beatles, and John Lennon, like, sent back his award, his medal. He's like, I don't want this. It was a war protest thing. You know, now they all want to have their picture taken because people think that, like, Obama's cool. Obama is like Richard Nixon, but, you know, sounds slicker. Sounds cooler.
Do you think Hollywood has tainted that any?
Yeah, it's you can't work in Hollywood unless you're a liberal. There's like 4 Republicans that are out in Hollywood and like 3 libertarians. Vince Vaughn's a libertarian.
Is he?
Yeah. But, you know, you either have to be really hip and be a libertarian, or you have to be really old and be a Republican, you know?
I bet the politics aren't still there. Maybe that's just a kind of flashiness.
Oh, they're still there. Yeah, if you're up and coming and you're a conservative, you will not get hired in Hollywood. Not at all.
But maybe country music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's weird because country music's like this kind of neocon-y thing. Like, you have to love America, and you have to love your mother, and you have to love the troops. But you also have to love the unions, which is kind of a lefty thing, man. It's weird because that's who buys country music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate new country music, man. Give me some George Jones or some Hank One or some Johnny Cash or, you know, I'd take Kris Kristofferson over any of these, or Waylon or Willie. Yeah, man. This new stuff is like, it's like Britney Spears with twang. It's not even country music.
Yeah, it's all pop.
Yeah, it's pop. It's whiny pop.
I'm glad I got away from all the mainstream music.
Yeah.
It's all auto-tuned and...
I only listen to Norwegian death metal recorded in a cave in Belarus on a cassette, and then I only listen to it if it's like a ninth generation cassette. That's how I stay pure.
Continued on side B.
Please turn over the tape.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life.
Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Is this thing on? Hello? Am I on the radio?
This is Mr. Michael Dean, and I am on the radio. Although it's going to be our last time on the radio in North Dakota, so for a while. So if you like the Freedom Fiends and you're listening in North Dakota, and it's a good station, you should keep listening to that station. But if you still want to listen to the Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com and subscribe with an RSS feed or with the Stitcher or TuneIn apps.
Or you can download it to your Walkman.
Yeah, we're talking about technology. And this is the redemption in the third act. And basically what I want to say is that technology has rendered government obsolete. Anything that government says it needs to exist to do can be done by the private sector or even human to human now. You know, deed registration. They have whole buildings committed to that. They have buildings that have people with employees and pensions and like their own cops for that. You know, they have their own, every department has their own police force now. And they don't need that, man. That can be done on the blockchain. And if you don't know what the blockchain is, I'd say you're stuck in an old mindset, but I don't want to make fun of you for it because life's complicated and just making a living's hard because of the government. Everything that is a problem, you can trace to the government, and everything that's a solution, you can trace away from the government. So more examples of things the government does. I mean, even defense, man. I would rather have Google running the drones protecting me. Go ahead.
You know how the government could end the blockchain?
I don't think you should say, but go ahead.
By embracing it.
Well, you know, that's the death of any kid liking a band is if their parents start liking it. So, yeah, probably. Yeah, which is why the band U2 is not cool, because mostly old folks like me like them at this point. So we're talking about the lunacy of format wars. Well, we weren't, but we touched a little bit with it on VHS. You know, every time there's been a technology come out, there's usually two competing companies or formats, you know, cartels of companies pushing one format over the other. You know, a recent one that people listening might remember was VHS versus Betamax.
And that's recent.
Okay, that's not recent. Okay, FireWire versus USB. And if the government had their way, we'd all still be using FireWire because, you know, people understand it and there's already things, we know how to use it. FireWire was horrible and it was really slow, and USB blew it out of the water, and USB 2 blew that out of the water, and USB 3 blows that out of the water. But the government, you know, if the government regulated computers the way they regulate guns and automobile production, we would all still be using 8086 Office XT, OEI International XT computers, if even that had 640K of RAM, because that's how the government thinks. And, you know, they want to regulate high-capacity magazines because somebody might do something violent.
they would want to regulate you to not have much computer memory because there are hackers who do bad things and they want to slow them down. If format wars aren't new. I mean, they go back to like player piano rolls in the 1800s. There were two different formats. Phonograph record grooves, when they came out, there were two different formats. And Thomas Edison, who was a really skunk of a guy and really loved patents and really loved busting.
Stealing technology,
as well as like controlling the technology of other people. And of course, his company, you know, turned into GE, who basically, they bring good things to life, but they also run the military industrial complex. They're basically part of the government and they don't pay any taxes. You pay taxes, but they don't.
Do you know what determines what wins in a format war, especially with video?
Generally, who is in bed with the government?
See, I've heard differently, and I believe it's the adult film industry.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's the free market of dirty movies. Well, the pornography drives every new technology. It drove the internet. It drove video. It drives all sorts of stuff. But now it's being put out of business because everyone's making their own. So the format wars, I'll just finish up with this. This is kind of funny. France would not embrace the Edison form of grooves in phonograph records to keep French citizens from hearing inappropriate foreign records with foreign music on it. Governments are so square. It's not just ours. It's all of them. They all just want you sitting in a box pushing berries up your nose, running on a treadmill, and they would tax you 100% if they could, and they'd like to, and they're headed that way. I want a new planet, Garrett. Can you 3D print me one, please?
Working on it.
As soon as you get your obsolete printer assembled.
All right. Please be kind. Rewind.
Don't copy that floppy.